What political philosopher or thinker do you most identify with and why?
Christ, because he changed my heart.
I thought that Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had, and that consciousness abides with all of us.
And that will necessarily involve continuing good relations with the Tibetan people and their remarkable representative, the Dalai Lama.
Hello, Dalai. This is Louis Dalai.
The walls between Christians and Muslims and Jews cannot stand. These now are the walls we must tear down.
It is the highest privilege that men have, that is to be fathers to their children. But what is the shape of that privilege? What does it look like that fathers with their children can instruct them in the Christian faith, can bring them the Word of God in the home? We're going to be talking in our Pastor's Roundtable here in the first hour of Issues Etc. today, live this Wednesday, the 30th of July. We're going to be talking about fathers instructing their children in the Christian faith and male leadership in the church in general. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. In the next hour of the program, we'll be talking with Jennifer Roback Morse about no-fault divorce. It has been the root of many troubles in the world today. In fact, some people, even Jennifer, would say that without no-fault divorce, we might not even be looking at things like same-sex marriage in the United States as a real possibility. We'll find out the connection there in the second hour of the program. Dr. Stephen Hine joins us for the last part of the program to talk about a theology of glory, which sounds good, doesn't it, versus a theology of the cross, which is actually better. We'll find out what those two theologies are and how one is the theology that Scripture delivers to us, and the other is, in fact, the natural theology of fallen man. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Pastor's Roundtable this time, kind of picking up on a subject that we dealt with in the last Pastor's Roundtable, fathers and their children. Pastor Michael Walther, he's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville. In fact, his drive over here was probably mere seconds. Mike, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here.
Pastor Warren Worth, who drove a little farther to get to us, but is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri, Good Shepherd.
We like the Good Shepherd.
Under the Good Shepherd Jesus, yes.
Welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
And on the phone we have Pastor Dave Disson, who's a longtime friend of Issues Etc. and a longtime pastor. He has been a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 49 years. He currently serves as pastor at Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. We didn't ask him to drive in. He's on the phone. Pastor Disson, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's great to be with you. It's a real privilege.
I have to ask you first. You have spent almost 50 years in the pastoral ministry. In those years, what percentage of your young confirmands, your young catechumens, those coming to you for instruction in the Christian faith, were already passingly familiar with the catechism from instruction at their father's knee in the home?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm not sure if I can give you an accurate answer on that, Todd, but I would hazard a guess that probably when I first started my ministry, about 35-40% probably had some knowledge of the catechism. But as the years went on, unfortunately, the catechism was being exchanged for other instructional material, and there were congregations that I went to where, in actuality, the catechism was no longer being used as the main tool of instruction. I think that is really, really sad. They did not have a good understanding of the catechism. They had some understanding, but the understanding was not good. I love what Dr. Martin Luther said. No one should become a father unless he is able to instruct his children in the Ten Commandments and in the Gospel so that he may bring up true Christians. Children should be brought up in the fear of God. If the kingdom of God is to come in power, we must begin with children and teach them from the cradle. And so, obviously, it's the first duty and responsibility of father and mother to bring their children up. It's the responsibility of the church to prepare them to do that.
Pastor Walther, I see you nodding your head over there, especially as Pastor Disson brings us Luther's advice on what a basic qualification for fatherhood should be considered in the Christian church.
Well, I shake my head because that is such so true, and it's such an important thing to do. But as true as it is, the reality is way on the other end. Fathers, so many fathers that I know, I think about a lot of the people I'm preparing for marriage, premarital counseling, you know, so maybe one out of ten, you know, has any inclination toward that way of living, you know. It's just, they are just totally not there.
Not even in church. I think that's a big part of it. Not only are they absent from Christian education in the home,
right,
they're absent from church and absent from Christian education in the church, and that's where it really begins. If the father sees no need for the gospel himself, how will he pass that on to his children?
Okay, Pastor Wirth, on that, Pastor Disson said something like, it is the parent's responsibility, father and mother, to instruct children in the basics of the Christian faith, to raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But it's the church's responsibility to equip them to do that thing. What does that look like? How does the church then do its task of equipping fathers and also mothers to raise their children in the Christian faith?
I would say it starts with solid basic preaching that would have a catechetical element to it, you know, that we would continually be bringing before them the basics of the Christian faith in the teaching aspect of preaching, but then also Bible classes and other instructions for adults should be geared. And we teach at our church, we periodically have a Bible study that uses the Sunday school lesson that the children are using. And one of the main reasons for that is to get especially newer Christians into the habit of teaching their children. And that's a great way, is to say, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And then they can build on that throughout the week. That's one little thing that we've been trying to do.
Absolutely. And Concordia Publishing House, their newer Sunday school materials encourage that by having something from the youngest age through adult. That is where they're teaching the same lesson the same day, so that when they go home from church and are around the dinner table, that's what they can be talking about.
Exactly.
Pastor Disson, a father walks up to you and says, Pastor, I'd like to be able to do this, but I don't know enough of it myself. I feel like they're going to ask me one or two questions, exhaust my knowledge, exhaust their dad's knowledge of these matters spiritual, and I won't be able to teach them anything else. What would you say to such a father?
Well, I believe the first thing the father has to do is get into the Bible himself. You have to be a Bible student. You have to get into the Word, and you have to, by God's grace, allow that Word to get into you. And the more you do that, the more you're going to be able to teach your children. You know, I love what we do in the church that I attend now. And by the way, I'm going to put a plug in for you, Pastor Wilkin, because you're going to be preaching Mission Festival at Zion Lutheran in Gordonville, Missouri, this coming Sunday. But Pastor Schwiso always includes in the service after the scripture readings time for catechesis. And he will start out as the head of the family, should teach it in a simple way to his household, and then he will select a part of the catechism, and the congregation will respond, you know, to his questions. I think this becomes tremendously important because it reinforces in a plain, simple way for everyone that's present, parents and the children, just exactly what the basic truths of Christianity are.
Pastor Walther, this is easier said than done. Achieving a relationship, it sounds like, between church and family, where church and family work together for the instruction of the children in the Christian faith. Someone comes to you and says, look, Pastor, this is what we pay you to do, to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You got 1 minute. How would you respond to that?
first thing I'd do is go to Deuteronomy, Moses, who clearly says it's the parents' responsibility. And he points out how that works when we're walking along the way. That's when what we teach them in school is just sort of opening the book a little bit. It's when you're talking about it in the boat while you're fishing, or when you're driving in the car, or whatever you're doing, that constant influx of this knowledge. And that's, parents are there. They're the ones that, of course, they got to be with their kids, which is another whole issue. Can't leave that up to sports and daycare programs to take care of that.
Well, you've just given me my next question on the other side of the break, because that's part of the problem. It's not just parents not in church on Sunday morning. Sometimes it's parents and children not in church on Sunday morning because there's a soccer game. Or the parents say, you're asking me to instruct my kids on a regular basis in the Christian faith. I barely get them to all of the band camps and the taekwondo and this lesson and that lesson. You're asking me to do one too many things. When we come back from this break, we continue our pastor's roundtable. Fathers instructing their children in the Christian faith. And when we say fathers, we mean fathers. Do you think that fathers instructing their children in the faith is problematic in the church today? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Nathan Sherrill, Pastor Gary Utek, Pastor Charles Webb, Jim Leatherman, Pastor Blake Rickbeil, Tom Egger, Leon Whitner, Pastor Paul Schleter, Ron Clark, and Esco Murdo. Thanks for your support. 618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our pastor's roundtable this week, picking up where we left off last time, talking about fathers instructing their children in the Christian faith. You know, we had a conversation about a week ago with the roundtable of pastors, and we were talking about the feminization of the church. This all kind of is of one cloth in a lot of ways. It's a common problem, and maybe the root of much of these problems is the failure of fathers not to do first, but to know and understand what they are to do as Christian fathers. And that's part of what we're hoping to achieve here in this pastor's roundtable. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio. It's Wednesday, July the 30th. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Where do mothers fit in all of this, Pastor Walther? I mean, for every father, there's going to be a mother, and hopefully the family's intact. But where do mothers fit into this? Because I think a lot of fathers would say, you know, I can leave this job to mom. She's got more time on her hands.
Well, and I know mothers do have a tremendous influence. My mom had a big influence on my life, and that's a good thing. But I think it's, you know, I see it so often in families. I watch kids in families where the mother is a good influence. And those kids really, you can see them growing and developing. But as soon as they hit those teenage years, you know, the other side of the equation starts to weigh in. And if dad wasn't there, then, and I know there's been a lot of studies done on that to prove that those kids are going to fall away faster than other kids where dad was involved. So, you know, to get back to your question, what can mothers do? Well, first of all, keep doing what they can to instruct the children and to be a good role model for them. But I suppose also, I do sense sometimes, I've run into this a lot in my church, where the wives are kind of hesitant to speak to their husbands about this and to, you know, encourage them. They just like, I don't know, they just kind of don't, they've even told me sometimes, don't go talk to my husband. He'll get mad, you know? And I'm thinking, come on, somebody better get mad about this because this is important.
It kind of highlights something, though. That this becomes a systemic problem, that when the father is not exercising or understanding so that he can exercise this spiritual headship in the family, then the mother feels like she has to take that on, and she feels uncomfortable mentioning it to her husband because he's never done this before. He just goes out and earns a paycheck and does all these other great things around the house, and he's never done that before.
And it goes on generation after generation, because if boys see that dad doesn't go to church, he doesn't need this, then that's the role model that they're more likely to follow. And then each generation, it's more and more. Dad didn't go to church. Grandpa didn't go to church. Why should I go to church?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's an important thing that fathers set that example by word and deed. Mm-hmm. Not just send your kid to church, bring him to church. And as you said, and this is all about starting in the home. You know, if it's important to you at home, to pray at home, to read the Bible at home, to talk about it, as you were saying, when you're riding in the car, when you're in the fishing boat, and especially around the table. I think that's a big problem in our society today to do. We don't eat together the way we did in previous generations. And I think if we do, families that spend time together around the dinner table talking also about the gospel, it has a big positive, in fact, impact if we actually spend time together eating and talking about Christ together.
Pastor Disson, I asked you before about how much had changed in terms of the 50 years of your ministry, but I'm wondering, one of the things that definitely has changed, and it's a cultural shift that many pastors decry, but no one seems to know what to do about it, and that is Sunday morning's been pushed out. It's become another day, another Saturday for many families, not just because they would necessarily despise the preaching of God's Word, but now things are being scheduled on Sunday mornings where fathers might or now have a very big distraction. My son's going to be playing in the soccer tournament on Sunday morning. I think I got to go to the game rather than go to church. What are your thoughts there?
Well, these are things that happen far, far too often today. And I think it's really simply a matter of saying to parents, look, we have to sit down and talk about getting priorities straight. You know, we have the commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. And it's very easy for us to allow other things to crowd in between us and God. And as Luther says, you know, whatever comes between us and God becomes a false god at that time. So I think it's simply a matter of reminding them, let's place first things first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We can't allow the world to dictate to what goes on in the church. We've imported too much of the world's agenda into the church. We just got to put first things first. And I look at it this way. When it comes to bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, God himself has the biggest investment in this. Number one, children are an heritage of the Lord. They are an undeserved blessing that God gives to parents. Number two, God has invested himself in this whole process. He has created us. Christ has redeemed us. The Holy Spirit is there to bring us to Christ and to keep us to Christ. If someone has invested heavily, God has invested the most heavily. Therefore, parents need to realize God is serious about this. There's nothing more important than fathers bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he says fathers in Scripture. Yes, mothers are involved in this too. But father, you have to take the lead.
I'm thinking about where it begins. Because there's always going to be that, there's going to be a learning curve, but there's always going to be that awkward moment where the father says, I haven't done this. I need to do this. I love my children. And it's time for me to begin, even a small beginning.
I remember think that. That is so true. And I'll tell you, years ago, first couple of years in my ministry, I had a husband come to me in tears. His marriage had ended in divorce. He worked a couple of jobs, two or three jobs, to give his children everything that he did not have. He thought he was doing right by his children, but he was neglecting the family. The wife divorced him. And the children spent most of the time with her, but periodically he would have time to spend with them. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said, we went camping for a couple of nights. And before I put the kids to bed at night, they said, Dad, are you going to read a Bible story to us? And he was dumbfounded. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Mom always does this when we're home. And so he began to seek more information and more help. He said, I didn't realize, he said, I thought I was giving my children what they needed and what they deserved. And he said, I was overlooking the most important thing. And so I put some Bible story books into his hand, and he began to use those with the children. And he said, what a change it worked for him and for his children. You know, we have good Bible story books available that parents can use with their children, read to them, talk to them about it, explain it in children's language, and the children pick up and learn.
Is it that simple, Pastor Worth, to simply begin with, I'm going to read you this story from the Bible or from a Bible story book?
That's a good place to start, and I'm glad he mentioned the resources. We have more resources today than ever before, and I think Concordia Publishing House has some good resources, children's Bibles, even a child's first catechism, since we're talking about teaching
Amen.
Them the basics of the faith. What a wonderful gift that is. So concerned grandparents can consider maybe giving this as a gift, whether to the child or to the parent, and encouraging them to use it. And it can be that simple to say, okay, we're going to do this when at bedtime, you know, after we get you ready for bed, we're going to read a Bible story. We're going to have a short prayer. And if you don't know what to say when you pray, there are books to help with this. Simple things that are at a child's level.
See, this is why I now realize why my very wise and dear wife always insisted, especially when the kids were smaller, that I be the one to go in at bedtime and say the prayers with the kids and review the catechism with it. It's not only because she was tired, but I think she probably realized that I needed to be doing that more than she needed to be doing that. Pastor Walter, before we take our break, at one point in something Luther wrote, I think it's in our, it's in the catechism someplace, he says that children should be instructed at the very least in the Ten Commandments, getting into the catechism, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and then later baptism, the Lord's Supper, and absolution. But he said if the kids don't know the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer by heart, don't give them food until
right.
they've learned it. Why is it so urgent then with about a minute and a half?
Well, that's the law and the gospel, and prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is the law and gospel applied to life. And it is. It's the bread of life. If they don't have those things in their hearts, you could do all sorts of wonderful things for them, but you're gonna lose them. And you're certainly not fulfilling the responsibility God has given to you as a parent to bring them up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord.
All right, folks, I want to hear from you, moms and dads, on the issue of fathers instructing their children in the Christian faith. This break is a great time to call, and when we come back, we'll have about another half hour of our pastor's roundtable on fathers instructing their children in the faith. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later in the program, in about a half an hour, in fact, we're going to start a conversation with Jennifer Roback Morse on no-fault divorce. She spent 15 years teaching economics at Yale University and George Washington University. She says no-fault divorce is to fault for many things, many societal ills. When we come back, more of our pastor's roundtable on fathers instructing their children in the faith.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Nathan Sherrill, Pastor Gary Utek, Pastor Charles Webb, Jim Leatherman, Pastor Blake Rickbile, Tom Egger, Leon Whitner, Pastor Paul Schleter, Ron Clark, and Esco Murdo. Thanks for your support.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A woman who's had 7 abortions recently shared her story with a local newspaper. Angela Simmons said, "I didn't want to bring a child into the world unless my situation was perfect." Any parent can vouch there's never a perfect situation. After the 3rd abortion, Angela tried to commit suicide with drugs and alcohol, but still maintains she has no regrets. This type of denial isn't unusual with either mothers or fathers of aborted children. Angela did choose life for one of her babies, but likely due to the damage to her body done by the abortions, her son was born prematurely with severe learning disabilities. The staff at the abortion facility never questioned her about the repeated abortions or counseled her. Please pray Angela finds healing from her abortions through Christ.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Our Pastor's Roundtable is talking about fathers instructing their children in the Christian faith. We were talking about the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Usually it's broken down in Lutheran circles into the 6 chief parts. Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, Baptism, the basic texts on baptism, the Lord's Supper, and Absolution. This has been the form of instructing children in the Christian faith, both in the church and in the home, not only from the time of Luther, from long before Luther. Luther didn't invent the catechism. He simply wrote his own that he thought would be useful to Christian parents. Why is this form, in an age where form is considered to be passé, why is this simple form of 6 chief parts, the basic instructions in these things, so very important, so worth keeping? Pastor Disson, you mentioned before the break that the catechism's fallen out of fashion, even in Lutheran congregations, for instructing the young and the old.
Yes, I have discovered that in some congregations that I have served, but I would go back to the catechism. I like what you said about Luther emphasizing the commandments, the creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Luther does say this, and I'm reading now a quote, "The commandments teach a man to know his disease and to perceive that he is a sinner and a wicked man. Thereupon, the creed holds before his eyes and teaches him where to find the medicine, the grace which will help him become pious, that he may keep the commandments, and shows him God, and his mercy is revealed and offered in Christ. Finally, the Lord's Prayer teaches him how to ask for, get, and obtain it, namely by proper, humble, and trusting prayer. these three things comprise the entire scriptures. This would go back to what Pastor Walter had said before about the law and gospel, but it's such a basic, easy tool for us to use in laying before the children and even the adults the basic teachings of God's Word, those things really which make us wise unto salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus.
We live in an age where it's not popular to memorize anything, although by default we end up memorizing those things that matter to us. But there are people who would say, oh yeah, when I was coming up in the church, they made us memorize this and that and the other thing. But we've learned better now. And memorization's just rote anyway. It's just dead knowledge in the mind. What do you think about that?
Well, absolutely wrong. We have to have a backbone, you know. And it's the way I do it, almost everything in life. When I approach a sermon, you know, I'm always starting with this basic framework and working out from there. That's how strong things are built. And that's the way we also have our spiritual life built, too. You have this kind of spine, this framework, this backbone of core, basic words of God, and you build upon that. And that's the way it all stands. If you don't have that, you know, it's so easy for Satan to come in. Look what happens with so many of the TV and radio evangelists. I can't even call them evangelists anymore. But, you know, they can take any Bible story and turn it into a story about how you need to get wealthy. It's amazing how effectively clever they are in doing that. But that's because if you don't have that framework to hang all those Bible stories on, you know, then that's what happens.
It's a house of cards, then.
Exactly, right.
I would like to add this. Besides just talking about memorization, I like to say learn it by heart. And I think the slight difference here is you know, what is not just in your head, although your head certainly
in your heart,
but it's,
right.
It's in your heart. And people come to understand as you pray the catechism that this stuff isn't just academic. It touches your heart. It touches your life. It's about salvation. It's about life in Christ.
And I love what... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. And just one other thing I was going to add to that is when you are with older people, for example, in nursing homes and making shut-in calls, you know, and maybe their memory is beginning to fail them in many, many things, you start to recite the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, or a familiar hymn, and they're right there with you. Even though they may not remember what day of the week it is and have trouble with the names of their grandchildren, this is still planted deep in their heart, and they can say it with you, and it resonates with them. And on their deathbed, they're able to, you know, still bring these things to comfort them in their heart and their mind.
Pastor Disson?
Yes, I love what Warren said about having that word in your heart. I love what you said about memorizing, Todd. Children do need to memorize that word. That word needs to become part and parcel of them. I want to give you an anecdote. Some years back, I received a letter out of nowhere, and it started out, "My name is John Robert Smith. You probably don't remember me." And I broke out laughing, and my wife said, "What's so funny?" Well, really, it wasn't funny, but this letter was written on the battlefield. It was written by John Robert Smith, who was in one of my catechetical classes. And I had to keep him after many times to make him memorize before I let him go home. And he just said, "I want to thank you, Pastor Disson, for making me memorize my catechism." He said, "I have God's word hid in my heart right now. I don't have a Bible with me out in the battlefield. I don't know if I'm going to live or die. But I want you to know that because you made me hide that word in my heart," and it wasn't really me, it's the Holy Spirit, but he said, "because you did that, if I die, I am going to heaven because I believe in Christ as my Savior, and the one thing that is sustaining my faith now are these Bible passages you made me memorize." Memorization, is it worth it? 110%.
When a father, parents want to deal with their children in everyday discipline, matters of discipline, one of the first things they learn as young parents is that at about age 4 or 5, the kids figure out that dad and mom have faults. And if they're smart, they figure out that dad and mom are sinners. And they'll remind you of that. I saw you doing this, and why do you make me do this? You don't do that. All of those kind of things that our children will do. Very good at preaching the law to us, by the way. I had some advice from a fellow pastor at one point when I was struggling with this, and he said, turn this to your advantage. Instead of trying to fight and say, no, I don't, yes, I do, or get into that tit for tat, you just confess.
Absolutely.
That you are a big, fat sinner to your kids.
That's the whole point, you see. What are we pretending? You know, if I'm teaching my children, what I'm teaching them first and foremost is, I am a sinner. I need Jesus. You're a sinner. You need Jesus too. And thank God, Jesus is there for you. He's there for me. He died for all. And, you know, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that, I think that's the whole problem, going back to, if fathers can realize that and believe that, then the rest is going to follow. You know, if I realize my own need for Christ and forgiveness and salvation that comes by grace alone through faith in Jesus who died for me and rose again, how can I not share that with my children and everybody else?
Pastor Warren Worth is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. He's joined here in our studio by Pastor Michael Walther, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, and Pastor Dave Disson is on the line. He's been a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 49 years, currently serves as pastor at Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. You can join us with questions or comments. Our pastor's roundtable talking about fathers instructing their children in the Christian faith, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Listening in Kansas City, Jamie's on the line. Jamie, thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to comment that my husband has taught my one-year-old at the time, and older now, that to say the sentence every night, who loves you most? Jesus. Why does he? What did he do? He died on the cross. Why? To wash away my sins. And our four-year-old says that every night because he has taught him that.
Thank you very much, Jamie, and thanks for listening in KC. That's a creed, isn't it, Pastor Walther?
Yes, very good. I mean, there's that basic, it all boils down to some really simple truths from God, and it's good to keep those hammered down all the time.
And you can put it to music, because the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, says that very same thing.
Yeah.
And that makes it very memorable. You sing that with the children, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, saying the words as a creed. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's a, bless you for teaching that to your children from little on.
We're talking about instructing children in the Christian faith. It begins in the home, and of course the church is there to help the parents do this very thing. At one point Luther writes, and he says something like, as he speaks to fathers and mothers, if God simply wanted to keep your kids clothed and fed and living in a warm house, he could have done that without you, fathers and mothers. But he gave you, fathers and mothers, your children as gifts from above, so that you might raise them up in the Christian faith, so that you might, in this way, through your vocation as father, aid God in the building of his own kingdom. And I think he reminds the fathers at this point that these children do not really belong to you, but they belong to God. He loans them to you for this time, but he cares more, he protects them more, and he is more deeply concerned about their spiritual well-being than you ever could be. But he wants you to share in that concern and in that good work. It is the greatest work God has given a man to do in the world. There are men who sit in the halls of power, in castles. There are men who occupy elected office and govern armies across the world. There are men who are titans of industry and control the fates of many and perhaps even large sectors of the economy from their offices. But when a father is there humbly praying with his child at bedtime, or teaching him the Bible at whatever level that child needs to be taught, or instructing him in things like the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, that father is doing a greater work in that moment than any titan of industry, any president, any king, any general of any army. He is doing exactly what God needs him to do and wants him to do right there. When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of male leadership in the church. I think first we've got to get the males into church, and then we can talk about leadership in the church. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. 10 more minutes in our Pastor's Roundtable.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Christopher Sean, Harriet Armstrong, Travis Gagline, Pastor Paul Koch, Pastor Jeffrey Allen Gross, Paul West, Adam McCurry, Matthew Phillips, Pastor Matthew Clark, and Brian D. Bascom. Thanks for your support.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
A prominent commentator weighs in on the stem cell breakthrough.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
According to commentator and pro-life pundit Chuck Colson, we should celebrate the recent stem cell discovery. The moral outrage over destroying human embryos fueled the drive to find these ethical stem cells for research. Many stood firm for the sanctity of human life, including the President of the United States, who rejected embryonic stem cell research. But the struggle is not over. Many on the left tried to use the issue to discredit pro-life Americans. Motivated as they are by political concerns, such attempts will not end anytime soon. Pro-lifers must remain on guard.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about men in the church and men in the home instructing their children in the Christian faith. Our pastor's roundtable, 10 more minutes in this roundtable. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. This email comes from Beth. She writes, Fathers/mothers should bring their children in God's Word, bring up their children to God's Word, to ensure that they are taught correctly. If one leaves it up to the church and the church doesn't teach it correctly, and there are some that don't, I would say many that don't, then parents have overlooked giving their children the one thing needful. She goes on, my brother was brought up in the church, Lutheran, but drifted away during the 60s and was excommunicated. He married a woman who questioned just what Jesus was all about. 40 years passed and my brother died. Months before he died, he and his wife would discuss faith, and it was he that showed his wife passages he remembered from his childhood to point her to the cross and what Jesus Christ really is. A special pastor, and he's now on your show. He's on your show now and one of the greatest pastors around. I think she's probably referring to Pastor Disson, because these are ancient historical documents we're dealing with. We weren't born at the time. A special pastor asked me if anyone was able to minister to him before he died. I didn't get to tell him that my brother was actually ministering to others. Beth, thank you very much for that email. She says, these words ring in my head. God's word will not return to him void and raise up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you, Beth. Pastor Disson, I'm going to let you respond to that. This notion that this promise that when he is old may actually come down to the line of when he is old. Your thoughts there? Perhaps we lost Pastor Disson. I'm going to let the next in line in terms of seniority, or at least in terms of gray hair, Pastor Walker.
Well, I think that's I've seen that happen a lot. In fact, I have ministered to people dying, and many times they've been years away from the church, but those seeds planted in their youth will oftentimes show up there, and they do hang on to those simple little truths. In fact, when I counsel people, come to me with many problems. I've met so many people with really messed up lives. Rather than assuming that I'm the first one to minister to them spiritually, I often ask, when did you think the last time you were closest to the Lord? Let's just start, because God's been working in your life somewhere, and what can you remember? And they will often say, you know, I remember, this is a person that has almost nothing to do with the church. I remember my grandma took me to church. I remember my aunt took me and took me to Sunday school classes, you know. And you'd be surprised how that can make a huge impression on a young person's life. So anybody out in our audience that has children in their circle of acquaintances, you know, you wouldn't believe what you could do. It could be a neighbor kid whose parents don't bring them to church. Just invite them to say, would you come to Vacation Bible School with us? Those seeds, I've seen those seeds come to life many, many years later.
Pastor Disson, this passage is so difficult for parents to believe, but the promise is, there's no reason to question the promise. Train up a child when he is young, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sometimes it does come down to years and years and decades later. Your thoughts there?
I have seen the same thing happen, and at times, obviously, it makes your heart heavy when you see people begin to stray, but that word can be nurtured, and later on you see it come to fruition. I've seen that happen. It becomes very, very difficult at times. It's so easy, as someone once said. In fact, one of my relatives had made the comment, because he had fallen away from the faith. He said, it's so easy to fall away from the faith, but it's so hard to come back. But if that seed is watered and nurtured periodically over a period of time, it's still possible for that to come back. God's word is powerful. It works. You know, he says, my word is not going to return unto me empty. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing to which I have sent it. So, yes, God's word works. And I'm sorry, I missed out on some of the conversation because we were cut off and Jeff got me back in the line.
Yeah, Jeff, that's Jeff's job, is to get green people back on board when they fall over to the side of the ship.
Yep.
Okay,
he rescued me.
Before we conclude our conversation, we do have to talk about the fact that male leadership in the church is something that is becoming a bit of an endangered species. And it's hard to foster male leadership in a Christian congregation if the males aren't there. How do we address this, Pastor Worth?
Boy, that's a good question. I guess we have to take many different approaches to it. I think sometimes men need something that's for men. Maybe that's part of it. You know, if guys have the idea that when it's mixed, it's really for women and the women take over because they're oftentimes better speakers, maybe better readers, more into what's going on. Maybe there have to be some events that are really for men only, like a men's Bible study or a men's prayer breakfast or a men's retreat where they can connect with other men and not be intimidated by the fact that and think that it's only about women and girls. You know, they can say, no, this is for men. Jesus is for men. The gospel, the forgiveness of sins, this is for men.
So is there any problem? Do we have to man Jesus up, Pastor Walther? Do we have to, you know, put him in a T-shirt with the arms cut off so that we can see his rippling biceps in order for men to get the idea that this Jesus, in fact, is the man? He is, in fact, the one true, fully human man right there before us, and that this, to have such a Savior, is not to do the spiritual equivalent of putting on a dress.
You know, I agree with Warren. We need to provide, we need to encourage them in a lot of different ways, and I think that's what a lot of this finally comes down to. If we know this is an important need in the church, then we need to address it and try to work with it. And the things that Warren mentioned, I think, are good examples. Here's another thing that I try to do, and that is I heavily recruit males for Sunday school teachers. I want a male presence in all the facets of the church, especially Sunday school. personally, I remember probably the most memorable Sunday school teacher that I had was a sixth grade Sunday school teacher who was a male, you know, and we really need to get those guys in places like that where they're going to have an influence on the younger people.
Pastor Disson, speak briefly, if you would, about the worship life of the church that, at least to, in my anecdotal experience, it is this historic, solid life of the church, Sunday in, Sunday out, the kind of preaching, the law and all of its sternness, the gospel and all of its sweetness, sturdy, solid hymns that can be sung, a liturgy that is something older than me and my generation, that often when men find it, they will say, I found the church I was always looking for, and I found a church where I can be the man I am, the sinner I am, and the recipient of Christ's gifts. Your thoughts on that?
I believe that our Lutheran liturgy has a powerful form to it, drawn straight from God's Word, that allows that to happen in the lives of people. There's a sturdiness to it. There's a strength to it. You know, we had been on radio and TV for years at Trinity here in Cape, and I've been on radio in other places, and I don't know how many times it was the liturgy together with the Word. Of course, the liturgy is derived from the Word, and you have that powerful combination, and people listen in their home, and then they come and visit and worship and begin to find out, is this what we really think it is? And they discover it is, and they say, this is what we want. This is what we've been missing in our life. So I think there's a tremendous strength to it. I feel there's a great manliness to it.
Pastor Dave Disson is a good friend of Issues, Etc. He's been a pastor in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod for more than 49 years, going on 50 years. He's currently serving as pastor at Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Pastor Disson, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Pastor Warren Worth is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. It's good to see you again, and thanks for driving over here to be part of the roundtable.
Glad to do it. Thanks for asking.
And Pastor Michael Walther is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois, and I'd say another good friend of Issues, Etc. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be here.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be listening to an NBC News interview with Kim Gandy, who is the president of the National Organization for Women. Barack Obama had some things to say that concerned Gandy on the issue of abortion rights, and she's still defending him, although she's concerned about his rhetoric. She thinks he might be slipping from the pro-choice ranks a little bit. And we'll also discuss a theology of glory versus the theology of the cross with Dr. Stephen Hine in the second hour of Issues, Etc. This is what God has put you in your place. The place of father and husband for. It is simply this. As he gives you the gift of children, he desires that you treat these children as his children, for that is in fact what they are, and that you acquaint them with their true heavenly father through his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's really just that simple. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we'll talk about abortion rights and Barack Obama.
Good afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.